Hi, and welcome to this week's Three Legs, Four Wheels F1 podcast. It's Paul here with...
Lee.
And Chris.
Very musical tonight.
Well, I'd try.
And you succeed.
Yes, I do succeed.
Like a budgie with a bent beak.
Okay. F1, Paul.
F1. Focus. Back in the game.
Hello, everyone.
Yes, hello. We're back again. With all this news that we didn't think was going to happen.
No, we keep saying we're not going to come back for another week, and then we lie. And
give Daniel some credit. We're a man down here.
Yeah, there's only three of us. Dan keeps things sensible normally.
That's true.
So if this goes wrong...
Hang on a minute.
Blame Dan.
Dan keeps us sensible. He's having a break from being sensible. He's in Vegas at the minute, isn't he?
Something like that.
Oh, God.
He might win me some money.
Ah! Well, then we can buy one of the Marussia cars that's up for sale.
Yes, that's what I need it for.
I think the listeners won't have heard us like together without Dan, because the last time we tried to do a podcast as the three of us, it got thrown into the bin.
It was that bad we couldn't use it.
Yeah,
correct.
But tonight's not going to be like that, is it?
No, because we've got lots to talk about.
We have. We might as well start with sort of Manor and Marussia. I'm going off the list here because it was a nice little segue.
Yes.
The administrators of the former Manor Marussia team that went into administration have put all the cars up for sale. You can pick up the Virgin
VRO1
for 150,000, and everything else for about 200,000.
Dare tell you what, there's a
Max Chilton, 20 quid.
Yeah. But there's a day you want to make sure you got your Amazon one click buy turned off, isn't it?
and your one click buy is turned off, and also don't go out that night. Yeah.
Chris, you know you were saying last week about drunk eBaying by mistake.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah. Drink and eBay sensibly, kids.
Yeah, don't drink and then bid for a Marussia car online. You'll wake up with a head full of regret and an empty bank account.
It won't get you anywhere. Well, it will, the back of the grid.
No, it won't even do that. No,
I left my laptop unattended one day and went upstairs, went to the toilet, came back downstairs, and my cat had one click bought me an iPad.
Oh, fair enough. That's nice of him.
That's what you told your girlfriend?
No, he did.
One of my cats is good at internet betting.
I need your cat.
Yeah, we'll sort something out. You really want that Marussia, don't you?
Yes.
Well, perhaps you could have a word with Pat Fry.
But for 100,000...
Who Manor have just taken on.
But for 150 grand, you think you could at least buy yourself a Formula One car?
Well...
Moving swiftly on, which Manor hope to do this season...
With...
Pat Fry! Yeah, that was a surprise this morning when the news broke.
Former Ferrari man, very close ties to Fernando Alonso in Alonso's time at Ferrari.
Do you think something's happened?
The message that I got, because we have like a group chat going between the four of us.
Yeah, believe it or not, we try and plan this shit.
Yeah,
never works. And I put them as soon as I got the press release from Manor this morning. I put on the chat, Pat Fry's joined Manor. To which Chris replied...
Actual Pat Fry or somebody called Pat Fry? And then you replied...
The Pat Fry that is called Pat Fry.
To which I responded, they do know he's not a driver.
But there is something weird about this, because he hasn't... He was with Williams all up until the end of last year, correct?
No, Ferrari up until the end of 2014...
Hmm?
Pat Fry, yeah, he was with Ferrari. Was it 2014 he was up?
Yeah.
Wasn't he
something with Williams last year?
That was 2015, last year.
Yeah.
And he was at Ferrari until the end of 2014.
Right, yeah, but he was in Williams.
He was in Williams.
Yeah, grand.
Mm. Yeah.
But what
I thought maths had failed you again.
No. What I'm trying to say is...
Don't buy a car.
He was there all year. He saw his... he's joined the team today. He doesn't appear to have had to do any gardening leave.
Well, no, but he will have known the development of the cars, but...
No, but usually they have to do some sort of... Like, even, you were saying Jacques Clear joined Ferrari today.
Yes.
But Jacques Clear...
Left Williams 8 months...
Mercedes,
8 months ago.
Yeah.
Because Jacques Clear left Williams when Jacques Villeneuve...
Yeah, and he had to do his gardening leave.
Yeah.
And it just seems really strange that... All of us, there's been no talk about Pat Fry leaving Williams, No, there was no point in joining Manor until he literally walked through the door today.
Unless it was on a fixed contract with Williams, and the contract was up. And
it still seems weird that there's been nothing said about it.
I didn't know that Pat Fryer actually joined Williams last year.
He was working with them, from what I can... Yeah, from what I can gather.
Right, but not in any official capacity or anything, right, okay. Do you think it's possibly
He was pretty. He was pretty there, because don't forget there was the. He was always with Claire Williams, you know, and even that thing Williams did where, like, Claire, that whole piece that Sky did, of the Williams team, revolved around Claire Williams and Pat Fry
as an independent consultant, because he was never actually employed by Williams.
Right.
He left Ferrari at the end of 2004. 2014, knocking 10 years off everyone's age. And if you look, I'm going on Wikipedia on this, so this could be utterly wrong, but this is starting to ring bells now. He left 16th of December 2014. Had a year not working in any official capacity.
But was with Williams.
Now he is with Manor.
Right.
He's
okay.
Officially working
that
for Manor.
Sense.
Yeah, he has joined Manor as engineering consultant. So
it sounds like then he's gone back. He's gone to Williams as the consultant, like you say. And then when his term was up with Williams as being a consultant, he's obviously thought, I quite like this. Maybe I should stay in Formula One in some capacity.
Do it officially.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Rob, maybe he thought of that thing as Williams as being like a slow step out of Formula One for him.
Mm.
And he's actually realised, actually, I don't want to leave Formula One.
Or he wants to go even slower, and that's why he's gone to Manor.
I think Manor are going to fly this year in comparison to last year.
They have suddenly... Over the last sort of 3 to 4 weeks, really, since Christmas.
Tell you what, whoever the new investor is, you know that guy that's put money into buying Williams, mm-hmm. he fucking means it, doesn't he?
Mm.
Really mean, yeah. It's good.
Yeah, this the Stephen Fitzpatrick guy is really he's smartened things up quite a bit.
And he's got other investors in as well, hasn't he? It's not just him now.
Oh no, there is other money in there as well. He is the majority owner.
Yeah, but at least it doesn't seem to be where, you know, there's been a load of investors got into the team just to get their fucking name on the side of a car.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's
Caterham.
Caterham. Or you don't get the feeling that they're working out of a shed in Yorkshire
anymore. Yeah.
I mean, one of the other major players on the business side there is a guy called Justin King, who used to run Sainsbury's.
Wow.
Yay, supermarkets.
We don't see many supermarkets on the sides of F1 cars.
No, you don't, because they're generally not international.
I'm sure Walmart could probably do it, because they own supermarkets everywhere. Okay, apart from Deniz's.
Maybe.
Because Pedro Deniz's dad was a supermarket multi-millionaire.
Was he? Is that how he had
that's his... how he, that's how he got his money.
Yeah, very good.
And that's today's history lesson. talking of things that used to not be very good, but are. Oh no, Pedro Deniz was never good.
No, Pedro Deniz was all right in Sauber.
Yeah, at a push.
Yeah,
well,
everything's relative.
Yeah, he paid for the car.
And they gave him the car that he paid for.
Yeah,
he didn't do too badly in Arrows either. You know, even Arrows was shit, but it was all right, wasn't he?
Like all the time, just about.
He stayed up
apart from one race in Hungary.
One day in Hungary.
Yeah.
Nah, he was a typical paid driver that occasionally got lucky. But let's talk about the Honda improvements. This 223 extra horsepower that they appear to have magicked out of thin air.
It's not really magicked it out of thin air, it's that they've realised their massive cock up from last year where they
Oh yeah, you know the turbo we're meant to put in? Yeah, it's not meant to be a Kit Kat, is it?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yes. It's actually just in the engine block is a Cadbury's boost.
Somebody said, give me some more boost. So
that's why the car was slightly rippled with a flat underside.
Yeah. That's why they wanted, you know, they wanted 3 bar of boost. So I put 3 Cadbury's boosts.
Yeah. going on the way that McLaren performed last season, that is more than feasible.
Yeah, they basically were 163 horsepower down, weren't they, on their ERS, which wasn't really working properly. It wasn't recovering energy as it should have done.
They couldn't run it for the amount of time that they needed to, because it needed something like 30 seconds of it running.
Yeah.
And they were only...
They could recover as much energy as an anorexic.
Heading into Jacques Villeneuve territory.
Yeah. Remember the last podcast without Dan?
Yeah.
No, you won't, listener. But we do.
Yes, Mum.
Yeah, the recycle bin on my PC is nearly full.
Empty recycle bin.
Yeah. I'll right click. Yeah, they needed to run the ARS for something like up to 33 seconds a lap, and it just wasn't there.
No.
Which is why they were okay on the corners and lousy on the straights.
Yeah.
Which apparently they have now fixed.
They fixed that problem because it was a location issue with the ERS. And I believe there's also something to do with the turbo being in completely the wrong place. Not able to...
It's meant to go before the exhaust.
Yeah. They weren't harnessing as much power from the turbo as they could have done purely because of where they placed it.
Yeah.
And...
That was what was causing the heat. Overheating.
That was
concerns,
mainly the ERS
was it,
thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Was it?
ERS thing caused the overheating. But
and Fernando fuming in the cockpit.
Yes.
Well, yes. GP2, GP2.
Exactly.
I don't think it would even have flown in GP2, that car. But the interesting thing is 223 extra horsepower. Some quick simple maths tells me that they're still going to be, if everybody else's protracted improvements come along, they're still going to be about 30 horsepower shy of Mercedes. That's a massive step forward, but it's still not enough.
Well, they were 70 short last year, and in this 233 is the 70 that they've made up. So it looks like the 2016 version of the engine is going to be on a par with the Ferrari and Mercedes engines of 2015.
Oh, no, it should be quicker than the Mercedes and Ferrari engines of last year. But if you look at the improvements that Ferrari and Mercedes are expected to make as well for 2016, they are not going to be... they're probably going to be power-wise, and this is purely power. I know there's a Formula 1 is a whole package. It's not just all about engines. Power-wise, they're probably going to be sitting in third ahead of Renault.
Well, this is where my prediction sort of sticks them, isn't it? In my, you know, is whereas I think McLaren are going to jump up behind Ferrari. I think they're going to overtake Williams.
With your love of Jensen, though, you want him to do another Brawn.
Just my fucking love for Jensen Button has got to be worth 25 horsepower.
Small horses.
Every race for that man is a Lee home race.
Can I also just point out, on a technical sort of podcasty perspective, that I have now checked the explicit box on iTunes, so you can swear.
Yes.
Not that it stopped you in the past when you weren't.
Cunt fuck bugger.
However, I made a point in our private chat on social media that if Jenson Button manages to beat Fernando Alonso this year, he might be looking at a world championship. That McLaren is as good as Ron Dennis would have us believe McLaren can be, and it was purely down to the engine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That McLaren could, I'm not saying it's going to be, could be way up top.
Well, yeah. Let's not forget that there was bits thrown onto the car, obviously the car was developed over the course of the season, but that McLaren last year wasn't developed like you would expect a McLaren to be developed.
No.
So this car, you know, this car has been on the drawing board since three races in last year.
I don't necessarily think the car was. I think after a certain point when they realised I don't know what point Honda and McLaren realised that the engine wasn't going to be any good in 2015. But I think it was quite a long time before they actually let the rest of us know.
I would argue that they shifted focus to 2016, round about FP1 in Australia.
Sakura, the Honda factory in Sakura in Japan, they cancelled Christmas holidays, and they were working 24 hours in shift patterns to fix this problem. That is how much honour means to the Japanese, and how much Honda are willing to not let this fail.
Yeah.
And how much they want to turn around to Ron Dennis and go, we've done our bit. What about yours?
Yeah.
Makes you wonder, though, doesn't it? Where, you know, when Red Bull was after a Honda engine, and there was another team, wasn't there, interested in Honda engines for this year?
For next year. It was for 2017, a potential Sauber deal.
Yeah, but Honda, Red Bull were after, wanted it for this year, didn't they?
Yeah, during the whole...
Yeah, but it makes you wonder whether Ron sort of thought there's going to be major gains here, you know, and we don't want more competition.
The first rule of Ron Dennis Club, never try and second guess Ron Dennis.
Second rule of Ron Dennis Club, he's always got a veto.
Not as big a one as Ferrari.
No.
Or my old band, which was called Veto.
Yes.
Ron Dennis put a stop to that.
Yeah, he did. Moving on, it's the wet tyre test this week.
It is.
The Paul Ricard circuit, former F1 race circuit, now owned by Bernie Coe.
Yep.
And he's installed sprinklers, so that's why they could do the wet tyre test.
It's worth pointing out the 2015, unmodified 2015 cars. There are no new parts in this car at all.
Could he not have just used the tyres from Renault last year to wet the track with?
What do you think is installed into the sprinklers? They've got to replace the water every 10 laps.
So. Oh, is it just Christian Horner?
Yeah.
Christian Horner gets spun round the cup round the circuit.
Yeah.
Yeah. What they do is...
Yeah, why do you think the Red Bull went out first?
they just have a truck with Christian Horner leaning over the back, sort of like your woman off of Titanic. And he's like, Christian, tell me about your problems with Renault last year. then it begins, and then when you get back to the pits... They take him for a couple
and just of... when he starts to dry out, he then turns around and says... How's that Sebastian doing? He's your driver, isn't he?
Tell me how much you miss Sebastian. It's just Christian Horner therapy session, really. Preparing him to take over Bernie Eccleston's role as the hardest, coldest man in Formula One.
Actually, the thing that probably finished Christian Horner off, you know you're married to a Spice Girl.
I'm fairly sure he's aware of it.
But, yes, the wet tyre test, which involved, in the first session, Kimi... Danny Rick and Stoffel. And the McLaren wasn't the slowest.
No, it was the middle of the three. I believe Danny Rick was fastest, with Stoffel van Dorn second.
Yes, and a cynical Kimi.
Cynical? Skeptical?
Skeptical, sorry.
I'm amazed that...
My phone has decided to start doing stuff all by itself. So it's getting switched off now.
I'm amazed that only three teams went there.
Wet
test or nothing. You know, this is the most surprising thing for me since Pirelli came into Formula One in the first place, and they sent open invitations to every driver, and the only driver to turn up on the open day was Sebastian Vettel
and Guido van der Gaard.
No, he said driver.
Yeah, no, I mean, that speaks volumes when it comes to stuff like that, you know.
You look at all the probable reasons why teams didn't turn up, and it will all certainly come down to money.
It will. I mean, we know that Force India...
Don't have any.
Not for Mercedes or Renault. Renault aren't there.
No, but are they ready?
No, but they've still got last year's Lotus.
Well, it has to be last year's Lotus, yeah.
But wouldn't you have thought that when you've got a driver which hasn't... Which has only turned a wheel in anger like a couple of times through the season, that even if they just sent Palmer there, he's never been on a wet track, he's never driven a Formula One car in the wet.
There must have been a wet Friday practice at some point.
No, he only had a handful of Friday practices anyway. I think we only had like three wet races, didn't we?
There wasn't a lot of wet races, was there this year? To be honest.
Well, it was meant to practice in Austin. But that was too wet. Mm. Renault, probably not ready. Mercedes, probably
Too arrogant.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think Lewis will actually be able to get into a car without failing the breath test.
Too drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Partying too heartily.
I
Sauber might have been there, but nobody noticed.
No.
I think Sauber might come down to money. Who else? Williams. Williams could have gone. Williams must have the money to do that.
I don't know that they do. They do have a fairly small budget for even for a Formula One team.
Yeah, but in Formula One, in the Formula One world, yeah,
it should be all or nothing.
But when you talk about 15 million for an engine, you know, stuff like that.
Or perhaps they only wanted three teams, and these were the first three to say yes.
No, they offered every team to go.
Well, in my opinion, all testing, whether it's for tyres, whether it's for whether it's for any particular reason, because these teams are going to get some data out of how this tyres behave.
And they will have 2016 parts on the car somewhere. They will do.
I don't think they will. But you say that, judging by the way
it should
that...
be all teams or nothing is basically my point.
Yeah.
Judging by the way the articles that I've read about it today and the reports I've seen have been written, the teams were using anonymous wet tyres, so they didn't know if they were on the 2015 compound or which of the potential wet tyres were. Yeah, which potential.
They'll work it out, they're not stupid.
Mm. Yeah. Which potential tyres were 2016 using?
They might have had no markings on them, but Kimi was sceptical about the new tyres, so yeah, he thought he knew exactly which tyres he was on.
So these are obviously the new tyres because they're shit.
And they look different, I'd imagine, because if you've got new wet weather tyres.
You're going to look at the tread and go, that's new.
Yeah. No, it's not. No, it really is. Look, it's different to that one. It's different to that over there.
This doesn't look like the ones you gave me just now.
Yeah. Optical illusion. Optical illusion. But yeah, apparently they were running anonymized compounds.
Yeah, that would work.
No, really. It would work with slicks.
It would work with slicks, but... the behaviour of the tyre, I think the drivers would know anyway.
Yeah, in that case, why they didn't just have the control Pirelli car?
I also like the idea that Danny Ricciardo was in the Red Bull. That's fine, he's Red Bull number one driver. Mm-hmm. Kimi Raikkonen was out in the Ferrari. That's fine, he's a Ferrari race driver. And you had McLaren test driver, Stoffel Van Dorn.
That was a test.
Yeah, but he's also, Van Dorn is also taking the test tomorrow.
Mm.
He's doing the whole thing.
Yeah. Van Dorn's doing all of it for McLaren. Yeah. No sign of Fernando or Jensen.
Mm-hmm.
And Ferrari using Sebastian Vettel tomorrow. And
see, I must say, I thought it was a strange thing for McLaren not to put at least one of their senior drivers
in. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, and Danny Kvyat is in the Red Bull. So the race drivers are getting a go. McLaren are just like, we'll let the Belgian kid do it.
The only thing I can think is maybe... I remember reading something from Jensen saying that he went back to the factory early after Christmas as well, you know, when they were doing this work.
Yeah.
So maybe there's just a lot of work that the race drivers need to be done back at HQ.
It probably with the step up from last year's McLaren to this year's McLaren.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if Fernando and Jensen were there in working doing 3-hour stints, one at a time, all day, every day, on the simulator.
Yeah, have
been for the last month.
I wouldn't be surprised if they want both of them there as well, because it's, you know, usually where you get one driver go in here and one driver do that. If they're both in at the same time doing it, they can compare, you know, and they can talk to each other.
Yeah, and they appear to be one of these driver partnerships that do share the data between each other, and it's not...
Something interesting as well about McLaren, their car factory that makes the road-going cars to put on general sale, has been shut down since Christmas and has not reopened.
Hmm.
So do you think there's just energy going into Formula One?
Do you think that they've decided, hang on a second, let's just knock back this a little bit and concentrate what we're doing?
I wouldn't surprise me.
Probably.
There have been a lot of people who work at McLaren
who
have had their jobs repurposed.
Mm. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, let's face it, McLaren aren't exactly supplying massive amounts of cars. Yo. They've got a supercar. Yeah, they've got a nice big long waiting list, and then cars are built bespoke for JK and
Rowan Atkinson.
Yeah, and
other celebrities are.
He
available.
Does need a new one, doesn't he?
Apparently, it got fixed.
Oh, did it?
Apparently, yeah, it was repairable. It was just a little bit of fire.
Right,
it's 95 F1 that you stuffed into a wall or whatever it was.
But yeah, we've slipped back into McLaren territory, haven't we, here?
Yeah.
But I don't mind. It makes me very, very excited to talk about McLaren at the minute. I didn't think I'd get that feeling again.
Clean up on L5. In that case, should we just revert to cycling? Oh, Renault was shit.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, 2015 podcast.
Yeah, back on familiar ground. Right, I'm trying to decipher Chris's handwriting, and it looks like...
I think that's a scarab.
Yeah.
Let's have a look.
Oh, engines down to 15 million.
Yes.
It looks like Elves down.
Don't.
So 850.
Considering it's a dead language, your Latin is fucking ace.
Oh. Yeah.
Public school education, what can I say? Yes, engines down to 15 million.
From 20 million.
It was worth
million.
Every orphan, wasn't it? It was worth every orphan, that.
Yeah.
Bernie's January sale. Engines now $15 million. Down from $20 million.
Buy
come
one.
To Bernie's Engine Emporium.
Buy one, get another at full price.
Yeah.
Yep, they've...
Buy one for 15 million or two for 30 million.
At these prices, I must be senile.
Come down to Crazy Bernie's. Pick up an engine. Now.
So, yes, they're making them cheaper because that's what the more skinter of the teams want.
Well, that's what everybody wants, really,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's going to make... You, otherwise, you would end up with a two-tier Formula One. Works teams and... Or works and de facto works teams and the rest of them.
Yeah. So this must mean, if Toto Wolff was to be believed, that Mercedes will lose money on engines.
If Toto Wolff is to be believed.
Yeah.
Was Toto just saying that so that they didn't have to...
Possibly.
Yes.
It makes me feel that.
Does anybody feel bad for Mercedes that they might be losing a little bit of money over the fact that... No.
No.
Neither do I. Neither do I.
But that makes me think, though, that if... I don't think they're making money on them anymore. If they were 20 million, they've been slashed to 15 million. I wouldn't mind betting that's essentially cost they're getting sold for.
Possibly.
Mm. And now, of course, all teams will have to be supplied with an engine by someone.
Mm.
Which is more Bernie stamping his authority.
Stamping his feet.
I think it's right. If you've got... I understand the problem you've got when you've got... Like, there's a lot of gots there.
Got.
Yeah, when you've got the like Mercedes, who've got so many engines all over the grid, and they don't really want competition from their own engines. But if you've only got four engine manufacturers now in Formula One, they have a responsibility to the sport to keep it keep it competitive.
Yeah, of course. You mean we've speculated about Ferrari giving spare parts to Sauber, and then that worked in that race. We'll take that, and Sauber, you can now have this engine, which is not fair, really.
Side note: speaking about giving parts, Gene Haas said that the Haas car will have a better chassis than Ferrari next year. Carry on.
Ooh. Did he say that?
Yep.
He didn't go there.
Oh no, he didn't.
And then
Dallara. Is it Dallara that are building the chassis for them?
Yeah.
Dallara, who build chassis for NASCAR, is it? And IndyCar as well. They'll be able to build a lot of the IndyCar chassis, I think.
Yeah, and don't they do the GP2 ones as well? They're all...
Are they all Dallara too?
Yeah.
So they've got good pedigree of building chassis. Formula One chassis that I know that they've built. Lola.
Yeah, okay. They had their own team as well at one point in the 80s.
Did they?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they were terrible.
Right.
You know, we were looking at Project Cars earlier and said that could be a generic two-race Japanese team.
Mm.
It was one of them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but they've got a good pedigree building successful chassis for in other sports and in other formulae.
Mm.
So, good luck with that, Gene Haas.
It might work.
Might work out very well.
Yeah. I'd like to see more competition for all of the top ten.
Yeah.
Closed cockpits has come up again.
It's not just come up, it's been put forward by one Alex Wurz.
Yes, head of the Grand Prix Drivers Association.
Yes.
Even though he's retired from racing.
Which means he probably can't be head of the Grand Prix Drivers Association anymore.
Couldn't have got a closed cockpit on if he was still in the car.
No, he's massive, isn't he?
Yeah, huge.
Yeah, makes Toto Wolff look small.
No, he doesn't.
And always wore different coloured racing boots as well. He always had one red and one blue.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah.
Wonder why that was.
Superstition.
Funky bastard.
Right, Ayrton Senna always used to wear his racing gloves inside out.
Yeah.
So his hands never got fire.
Was it Vettel that puts a coin in his laces?
Something like that.
David Coulthard had a pair of boxer shorts that he wore for every race.
Just one pair? Yeah, for his entire career.
And his lucky chin.
Yeah.
Yeah, lucky chin.
That wasn't lucky.
No, true.
It might have been an aerodynamic device at one point.
Yeah, that's true. And
to deflect all those insults.
He just flick his head up and it's DCRS.
Yeah.
And for any of our listeners that follow motorbikes, the Manx TT winner, Richard Milky Quayle, always wore the same T-shirt under his leathers that was given to him by a stripper in 1994.
Oh, brilliant. Nice. Well, it worked out well for him.
It did.
Until he crashed.
Until it didn't.
Perez has a picture of the Pope in his car.
Oh yes, no, yeah, he's Sergio Perez, very religious, and he has a picture of the Pope. Stuck in his car. I wonder how the aerodynamicists feel about that. You made one side of the car 1 gram heavier.
What did you say about the explicit content thing being ticked?
Hang on.
Do you reckon that's
I've just unticked it.
Prepare, Jacques Villeneuve.
Do you think that's the closest the Pope's ever been to a small boy?
This Pope, yeah.
So, anyway, yes, the Alex Wurz statement that was released today. They are pushing for closed cockpits in 2017. The Halo is currently favourite.
The Halo is basically, for anyone who hasn't seen it, it's
wishbone.
It's a strange sort of like. It looks like a halo over the driver's helmet with a front strut that comes down. I'm demonstrating with my hand. You can't see this.
What I will do is, on the website, I will put a picture of the halo as the picture on the page of the podcast going on.
It looks like
a shark fin with a boomerang stuck to the top.
Correct.
You know those TV aerials that you get on the back of limos?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Big like one of them.
Yeah. I've just boomeranged a shark. We can't go better.
Whale freaking tail. Lasers.
Do you remember the Sierra Cosworth with the whale tail spoilers on the back?
Yes.
Like them.
Yes.
I love the idea now of Daniel Ricciardo snapping the boomerang bit off and throwing it at other drivers.
It just comes right back at it.
with Nico Rosberg's head on it.
That's more of a Maldonado type trick. Do they have Venezuelan boomerangs? If anyone's listening in Venezuela, let us know what
But they always crash.
Yeah, let us know what your equivalent to the boomerang is.
And yes, thank you, Venezuelans. Thumbs up.
But there's no point putting your thumb up at the microphone.
Yes, there is, because you guys can see it. If the other thing that I've seen that's similar to the halo, I mean, I wouldn't call it closed cockpit as such, because it's still very open to debris flying at drivers' helmets, etc., from certain angles.
It wouldn't have done anything for Felipe Massa.
Wouldn't have done anything for Jules Bianchi.
No.
But
the other thing that I've seen.
It might have done. It depends where it takes.
Yeah, that's the bit. To me, it's
because let's not forget
it's a crash
that
structure.
It was a horrible crash, that, and when the car dug in underneath it, if that struck could have took that impact, then I can't really say it without being graphic about it, but
his helmet took the impact.
Yeah, his helmet moved the truck.
It may have diffused some of the energy when he went into it.
Yeah. Well, it would have ended up with the thing with the tractor on top of the halo rather than
him.
If it's strong enough.
Yeah, that's true. But it's got to be. Otherwise, there's no point in having it there.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless it's there to deflect larger flying debris like wheels or wings.
So, similar to the accident in Austria when Fernando Alonso ended up on top of Kimi Raikkonen.
Yeah.
That could have been very, very horrible for Kimi Raikkonen had Alonso's car slipped up and sort of fell on top of Raikkonen's head.
Interesting thing, yeah, and I'm pulling numbers out of my head here. I did read it this afternoon, but I might be wrong, but I don't think I am. The sides of the car last year were brought up 20 millimetres to help protect the drivers.
Yes, they were.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, those structures the year before could take
15 tons?
Kilojoules, or so, was it?
I don't know. Of energy,
energy hitting it. But, and then that, with the 200 millimetres up, was then bumped up to 50 kilotons.
Right, so just by 20 millimetres.
Yeah, yeah. So, but it's not just, that's not just the extra height there, it's just, it's extra technology as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's whatever these halos are going to be made out of, it's going to be strong.
Yeah, yeah, and it would have to be as well. But my, as you quite rightfully pointed out, wouldn't help in the situation like Felipe Massa, where I think it was it Barrichello's Braun dropped one of its suspension springs and it hit Massa. Well, Massa drove into it as it was bouncing down the road, and knocked
essentially the back car, innit?
It's what, sorry?
The back car, the Tim Burton back car.
Almost.
You know, the thing, if there was glass on it.
Yeah, all of the designs I've seen are either completely closed cockpits similar to the cars we've seen in like Gran Turismo, or the McLaren, the McLaren MP4X, if nobody's seen that.
That was a podcast picture a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, I was going to say, have a look back at the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and there's a picture of the MP4X on that. You're either going to go down that road where it's sort of like there's a screen almost for the driver to look out of, or you go down the road of the halo and sort of the roll cage design I've seen. I think it was Ferrari that put that on. Roll cage design, which again to me not necessarily protects from impacts and debris, but with bigger objects, cars coming down on top of each other, trucks in the way, rolling the car onto something would have a
Ferrari only built a roll cage because they've still got all those X-Wings left over from the late 90s and they wanted to do something with them.
Oh, melted them down and repurposed them.
On a note though, I think that just a quick message to any of our listeners that go on Formula One forums, I really wish people would stop posting things on the closed cockpit arguments, saying things like, where if cockpits come in, I won't watch Formula One anymore.
If you put wheel arches on the cars, I'm going to stop watching.
Yeah, like get a fucking grip of yourself.
Because what you probably don't realise, what you probably haven't thought about, is whilst it is making the cars safer, what it's actually going to do is make them faster.
Mm-hmm.
So what you'll end up with is what I believe Formula One should be, and have records broken consistently because the aerodynamics. Basically, you're giving the aerodynamicists almost, not quite yet, but almost free rein.
Mm-hmm.
Design a car that's got this on it, and what the aerodynamicists are going to do.
Oh, yeah, they're going to make it go faster.
Yeah, of course they are.
But the great thing is there, if you make the cars safer, then you can make the cars go faster by because it's safer to do so.
Yeah.
But the issue is, and I'm segueing here, one thing that's not making the cars go faster is the tyres. Which they were also complaints about in the same interview with Alex Burt.
Was it an interview or was it a statement?
It was the BBC put it out as an interview, but I think it was a press release. Basically, the drivers have been told to shut up and keep their opinions to themselves.
And they let the GPDA do it all.
Yeah. But a senior source, no names given, has been quoted as saying, we don't like the tyres, we can't drive to our abilities because of them, we're limited by them, we don't like it, effectively.
Was that Pastor Maldonado in the fact that he's limited when they're not all on his car?
He drives at full speed for that first corner.
Stickier tyres would make drivers happier, I think is what...
That was the other line as well. Yeah. It seems like...
I mean,
there are drivers that are seriously hacked off with Pirelli.
Yeah, I mean, we've had this debate before, and there are many angles to come at this from. You can come at it from Pirelli doing a good job of making the sport exciting, but the drivers are bored. They want a car that they can push to the limits. If you gave, for example, you gave Nico Rosberg and Lewis Hamilton the same car, and they said, you can go 100% flat out, as fast as that car will possibly go in strat mode, whatever it is, the fastest, you can drive it for as long as you possibly want to. When your tyres start to wear out, come in and we'll make just the one stop to just use both compounds. The drivers would love that. And you get to see more of the driving talent than the, we can conserve energy talent.
Lift and coast. Easy on the tyres. Well,
yeah, that's it. Yeah, look after the tyres. It is annoying, but it does make the sport interesting. And Pirelli have adhered to the brief that they were given,
which even Bernie said might not have been the best thing to give them.
Well, what are you supposed to do? Not give them. You can, like he said, you could do a Michelin, put on a tyre on in January that you could take off in December. We don't want that.
No.
But do you really want these ultra soft tyres that might do like 3 laps at Monaco and like perhaps like the first chicane at Monza?
I wouldn't mind if.
What a waste of rubber and plastic, by the way.
I wouldn't mind if there was an. If there seemed to be difference in degradation between drivers, it's not like drivers can save the tyres or push and take all the life out of them if they want to. It just seems to be that if the estimate is 5 laps, all the tyres die in 5 laps. It's like they've got a time bomb on them.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. Tyres are good. Tyres are going, falling off a cliff.
Yeah.
You'd hear Jensen, for example, someone who's very, very good at looking after his tyres. You'd hear him say, tyres are starting to go. We might need to think about changing them.
Yeah.
Why can't they slowly degrade?
But even bringing Jensen into it, when he was with McLaren, his first couple of seasons with McLaren, he did some great work tyre wise, in that time there, and you could really see that he, as a driver, made the difference with the machinery he had. Now, in the last few seasons, no one's been doing that. Apart from Perez, who's been sent out there for weeks on end on one set of tyres.
Yeah.
But he's not making them last longer. It's just the fact of because his car is a bit ahead of the ones behind and he can't really fight the cars ahead of him, then he can afford to go out and be slow, essentially. And, to make his strategy work.
Yeah.
It's not like he's wringing the neck out of the tyres and still staying competitive with them.
Yeah. He's just driving the car within its capabilities.
And keeping it out of the wall.
Yeah, doing it at 90%, where the cars behind would have to be at 110% to get close to him, and he'd have to be at 110% to get to whoever's in front of him. Mm-hmm. No, follow what you mean. Follow what you mean with that. I don't think there's ever going to be an answer to the tyre thing, because everyone's going to find reasons to...
See, I don't think the answer's a tyre war either, because...
That's not the right answer.
If you get a tyre war, you're going to end up with Bridgestone coming in again and just supplying Mercedes. And you'll
have an Indianapolis 2005 thing.
Well, even if you don't
That's taking it to the extreme, but...
I still think the most unhealthy thing for Formula One was the tyre war to a certain extent, because you had Bridgestone making tyres for Ferrari... Screw everybody else that had them. They just had to deal with what tyres fitted Ferrari.
Mm.
I think that's why Ferrari was so dominant. They had a good car and they had a good driver.
I mean, that was the thing. When Bridgestone came in, they were just supplying the sort of back end of the grid teams.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Ferrari signed up with them.
Yeah.
And then...
We had in-season testing as well then, didn't you? So as soon as they did that... There was a Ferrari going around Maranello 24 hours a day testing tyres for Bridgestone.
Yeah. Well, that's when they would have, essentially who is now Jean-Éric Vergne.
Yeah.
Basically, that would be his job.
Yeah.
To go around Maranello all that time when in-season testing was allowed. Just drive this last year's car around Maranello, forever, and mm-hmm. we'll work out what the best strategy is to, you know, for us to get tyres for these circuits and that circuit. It's in-season testing. I would like to see a partial return of in-season testing. I would.
There is one at Silverstone after the British Grand Prix this year.
Yeah, but for it's so restricted, and it's always called young driver.
Oh no, this is a test. Apparently.
An actual test.
This is an actual test. I think the drivers have got to wear bags on their heads or something. So that
it would be nice if they could have if the teams were told you can have two tests a year. If you choose to use them wherever you want.
Yeah, I mean, innovation is what Formula One should be all about. And
I mean, the thing is, all the teams are based around Silverstone anyway.
Close-ish, not far away.
So it can't cost.
Toro Rosso and Ferrari are the only ones who... Where are Haas based now? They've got Manor's old factory.
They've got Manor's old factory, which is the old catering factory.
But it can't cost much more. You're during the European races when they go back to home base anyway.
Mm.
It can't cost much more than slamming a test or two in around that sort of time where they can all hightail it to Silverstone and test.
Yeah.
It can't cost much more for, say, Williams to go to Silverstone and test for 3 days than it does for them to stay in Abu Dhabi after the last Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's
but that test that they do in Abu Dhabi, that is a young driver.
No, I'm not saying get rid of it. I'm just saying on the cost thing, I can't see how it would cost much more.
But what they should be allowed to do, Abu Dhabi being right at the end of the season as well, what they should be allowed to do is have a test or two during the season where they can bolt new parts on and have a go at them. If they're visual, if they're aerodynamic parts, you're just going to have to take the risk that another team are going to see that. And
get some new funky liveries on the cars.
Yeah, you know, like two or three races down the line, they might have the same as you because they realise it's worked really well. But if you can get that two or three race jump on them, brilliant.
Yeah.
But look at Red Bull's test livery from last year.
I was just going to say, some funky liveries on it.
Yeah, that white and black livery, which I quite enjoyed, actually thought they should have stuck with it. But you couldn't make out the shape of the car, could you? Really? Until they put the blue livery on it.
Yeah.
I got terribly excited when I saw that because I genuinely thought it was the livery at first.
Yeah, no, I loved it. I thought it was great.
I'm amazed at Red Bull Mr. Tricky. They didn't release limited edition cans of the drink with those colours on.
Test livery, black and white Red Bull.
Yeah.
Should have done.
I was going to say something possibly earth-shattering then, and I've absolutely forgotten what it was.
Brain fog.
Oh, it's gone completely. I think that's about everything covered for this week that's happening at the moment.
I think so.
Just one other thing to report, kind of F1 related. Jacques Villeneuve is no longer a Formula E driver.
Oh, is he not?
Nope, he got binned at the weekend.
Well, did he get binned or did he walk out?
Parted by mutual consent was the phrase.
Yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio is said to be very upset.
Mm. Yes, something's gone on. By the looks of things,
that's a shame. I wanted to see, I wanted to see what he could have done by the end of the season.
Yeah,
but then again, that would involve me watching a race.
Yeah,
so I wouldn't have seen any.
Well, there is one this weekend in Buenos Aires.
Is there?
Yeah.
Do you know what? You see if that.
I saw various teams grovelling for fan boost votes on Twitter yesterday when they launched it.
If that championship wasn't so sporadic, and ITV and Formula E weren't fucking hopeless at self-promotion, I'd watch it, but I can't be bothered. When you watch a race and then
it's still very fledgling sport.
Yeah, but like when you finish watching a race and then you go, oh, I wonder when the next race is there, and they go, I see you in 4 months.
No,
you won't.
Yeah, the only reliable way we've got of knowing when there's a Formula E race on is Dan tells us.
Yeah. Well,
it's January, we'll be back in August.
But just
for the same season.
Yeah, exactly.
Just us doing the podcast, for instance. I know we're not like a sport, but you miss a couple of weeks. Your podcast, people aren't happy with things like that.
No,
and, so, we do have listeners who they say, "Excuse me, where's your podcast?" When we haven't done one for a week.
Yeah, we didn't. The one that we missed that was terrible.
Yeah.
I think we missed one before when three of us had colds and no voices.
Yeah, that happened. Yeah.
We'll try and be more regular this season. Well, let's face it. We've said that the first one of this, or the second one of this year, was going to be in February. This is already the fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's the fourth week of the year.
Yeah.
Woo! Winning.
Fooled you.
Yeah.
Hashtag shut up.
How stupid do you feel?
Well, news things keep happening.
They do. It doesn't look like it's going to stop either.
No, because the launches are coming up soon as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've got launches starting in about 3 weeks' time.
Exciting liveries, or are we going to see the same liveries, do we think? I think it's going to be pretty much the same
liveries. I'm going to predict that the Williams gets launched for the test in the black livery, and then they do the race livery afterwards. Mm. McLaren will be orange, and then they'll release the race livery for that afterwards.
I don't think they will.
McLaren will be white and red.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Switch the first one. McLaren we'll see is their winning orange.
I also think that the only all the promotional pictures they had out of the first for the McLaren,
the for the white.
Yeah, well, remember how you had that, like, that kid that was sketching a Formula One car, and it was a Formula One car, but it was in the red and white.
Yeah,
I think the only reason they went with the black with the thing in is because they knew it was going to be a dog of a season, and they didn't want to relaunch McLaren Honda like it was. And then it just deflate.
Yeah, so they stuck with the chrome, and then Honda complained, "No, chrome is a Mercedes colour."
I think they were black, weren't they? They were black to start with.
They started black, and then they went chrome later on.
Yeah, well,
they started chrome, and then they went black.
No, they were black, and then they went to a different. They were flecky.
Yeah, they did the test in black.
Yeah, they did a flecky. They did a flecky black.
Yeah, they did the test in black, but they were.
They changed the black for a lighter.
Like a chrome. It was a very chromey colour when they first started 2015.
Yeah, but it was a blacky chrome. It wasn't a silvery chrome.
And then they went black.
Yeah.
What was it, like, round about the Spanish Grand Prix?
Yeah, but the testing one was just black. It wasn't their usual testing orange.
Yeah.
But I reckon that's what we'll see. If that's one way of telling, actually. If we see McLaren test with an orange livery, we know it's going to be a good car.
Yeah.
Because they only ever wear orange when they win races.
Yeah, I also think that if they launch the car and it's a surprise, like the livery's a surprise, like I think it's going to be red and white, if they do that, I think if they haven't got a championship contender, they've got a race-winning contender.
I think you'll see more white on the Ferraris. And I think you'll see... the sound would not change at all whatsoever.
Mercedes won't change.
Mercedes might be very, very little difference.
A bit more orange somewhere.
No. Mercedes will
not be... Not orange, purple, like, because they've got...
the purpley-green thing they've got going on. I think it'll probably be...
lots of adverts for Lewis's album.
Yeah, probably. maybe a more chromey colour than the silver that they've been lately, but it'll still be very, very silver and...
Williams will be different because they've got a different sponsor, haven't they? Or they've got a new sponsor.
And Martini still, aren't they? Williams Martini.
Yeah, but they've got this fridge thing going on, haven't they?
Well, there might be a little bit of difference on the Williams.
It'll look cooler.
As I said, I expect...
Jesus.
Someone had to do it.
I expect that we'll see a little bit more white on the Ferraris.
I think, judging by the look of the Manor logo, we'll get black and white, and I think we'll be trying to get away from the red of Marussia.
Yeah, that's possible, yeah.
And Force India will just be covered in the names of companies that Vijay Mallya owns.
We might end up with a blue Marussia.
Do you think?
Well, because, red and white's Manor colour anyway, isn't it?
Mm.
And but the Manor, they don't have anything to do with it now, do they?
Marussia, really? Do.
Marussia don't have anything to do with it anymore.
So is it pure Manor now?
It's now Manor.
Manor, right. F1.
I'm thinking that Flixbox, or whatever it was, you know, that sponsor they got.
Oh, the packing crates.
If they've still got that, I think you might see, because that's essentially a title sponsor, and their colours seem to be quite blue.
Yeah.
We might see that.
Might do. Might see that energy company that Stephen Fitzpatrick owns plastered all over it.
Oval Energy.
Mm. Which, I've seen adverts for them on the television now.
I wonder if Sauber are going to go with their usual cloak.
Oh, the one that they put over the car to hide it from TV cameras even during the race.
Yeah, I think they stole it off James Bond's car in that The World Is Not Enough.
Yeah. Sauber will be anonymous.
They will.
Shall we let these people finish listening to us and move on to something else now? Yeah, we've been waffling for a long time.
Listen to another podcast or something.
Yes, well, go tidy your room and go to bed.
You could do that if you want to, but I mean, if you listen to this and it's like lunchtime, that's kind of pointless.
Mm. Yeah, fair point.
Oh, no, tell your boss, we've said you can go home.
Yeah, we've said so.
You're competition winners.
Yeah.
You've won our competition for an early day.
The prize is the afternoon off.
Yeah.
But we'll see you maybe next week.
Yeah, it depends what news develops.
Mm. I'd imagine so, I missed them.
We'll see you soon.
Bye. Bye.